This is Shop Talk. I'm Rich Hugger.
I'm Lisa Koenig.
And I'm Mike Murray.
As you may know, NPR congressional correspondent Andrea Seabrook left the network recently. She's pretty much frustrated with dealing with politicians who lie to her face all day, as she says. This was the subject of the On the Media program, or a portion of On the Media, a week ago, and we'd like to talk about it on Shop Talk today. Lisa, I find it especially intriguing that Andrea Seabrook felt she needed to leave NPR in order to start a new blog where she hopes she can dig into the deeper truths about Washington. But it's intriguing she felt that in order to dig into these deeper truths that she needed to leave an established network such as NPR.
Yes, yeah, she said, and on the media and also in an interview with Politico online, that she's hoping to produce content stories that will get picked up by NPR or other outlets and just work independently and do the kinds of stories she wants to do, because the daily pressures at NPR did not allow her to do the kinds of stories she wanted to do every now and then, which is, disturbing. The question is how. And the question she was asked on the media is, well, where does that leave the rest of the congressional press corps?
Yeah,
I don't have the answers.
Do they not have time to really dig for the deeper truths? Is that part of what she's saying?
That's what she's saying. There's so much. Well, a couple of pressures she's under. There's the pressure of PAC journalism. She said NPR is cash strapped. Their bureau in Washington is cash strapped. They're trying to compete with all these big, better funded bureaus, and her editors are saying there was this story in New York Times or wherever, and we need you to match it, or get this soundbite. So she said she found herself getting the soundbite her editors wanted. I'm paraphrasing here. So there's that pressure to keep up with the competition. And what else? Other pressures.
Well, there's the pressure, as I call it, of feeding the beast every day.
Exactly.
You have these newscasts and unique content every day. And if you want to dig deeper, sometimes it's going to take a week or two, right, maybe longer, a month or two, to come up with that story. Sure. And in the meantime, what's being done to fill that hole in the newscast, to have some content for the newscast, to report what's going on day to day in the Capitol?
Yeah, I was going to say, mention that something along those lines at some point as well. It's just to decode what politicians, Congress, members of Congress, and folks in Washington in general have to say is just gotta be a real time-consuming activity. And I think that goes a great distance to explain why the kind of stuff that we get on a lot of commercial media is just as superficial as can be, because it's just the stuff that we can get easily without, and I'm talking, also I would say, I was watching PBS NewsHour on television the other night, and Gwen Ifill was interviewing somebody from the Republican National Convention that's going to be speaking before Mitt Romney, and it's just, they've got all of their stuff rehearsed, and there's very little time and perhaps very little inclination, or very little motivation to pick what they're saying apart, to ask the tough question, that you talk about periodically, Rich.
You need to really know your stuff,
right,
so that you can ask that good follow-up question. Mm-hmm. Perhaps if you have an inkling of something that this particular person has been talking about, a point they've been making, perhaps you have a chance before the interview to do a little research and check into the truthfulness of it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times you don't know what they're going to talk about.
Right.
And if you don't really know your stuff, or because you're so pressured, you just don't have time to do a lot of research before you do that interview, you don't have the ability to ask that tough question because you don't know the issue well enough.
Mm-hmm. One of the things Andrea Seabrook complained about was that she basically felt like she was colluding with the mm-hmm. people in Congress and just giving them, just reporting their spin, basically,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
and that they weren't telling the truth, and they were, you know, she was providing the means for them not to tell the truth. And so I'm sure that could, that's really frustrating. And I would guess, I would venture to say that, you know, as a listener, sometimes when I'm listening to these interviews, I wish that the reporters would maybe be more aggressive when they're questioning these officials, or set the record straight if they say something that's not true. And some interviewers do that, but for the sake, there's also the another pressure, is the pressure to be fair, or this ethic of being fair and giving time to both sides.
Yeah, but the idea of being fair doesn't mean giving you the airtime to lie to my face either, or to the audience. And it is fair to ask that tough question, especially, again, if you know the person is lying, if you know the subject well enough, and they're full of BS, you know, I think it's important for the interviewer to call them on it.
Right. You know, and lie sounds so bald and, you know, in your face type of thing. It's more, you know, it's more the spin that gets associated. Facts are facts, you know, but there's a way to spin them in such and such a way to make them look more or less favorable, depending on your what you need for those facts to do. So that's the kind of thing. It's not really a lie, you know, to put a spin on some facts, as long as the facts are fairly well represented. But the spin needs to be decoded sometimes. So
all of her complaints, I think, have some merit and bother me a bit. But the one that kind of gets to me a little bit more is the idea that the pack journalism mentality, that somebody else has a story, so we need to have a version of it now, too. Why do we worry so much about what everybody else has? They have their story. We have a great story we're working on over here. Let's focus on it instead of worrying about what everybody else has. That's my thinking.
Hmm. Mine too. Are readers going to notice? I doubt it. I think we worry about what the other journalists think. So I think in this situation, probably the only way change is going to come is from the top. I don't think Andrea Seabrook could have changed the culture by herself, but it's going to take a group effort from the editors and all the reporters saying, okay, we're going to change our approach to how we cover this.
And it won't be profitable, you know, at first at least, because it's going to be kind of coming out of left field and it's kind of different from what everyone else is doing, which is, you know, kind of where you're going with that idea, Rich, about, you know, getting away from pack journalism and resisting the temptation or the sense that you need to cover something because the folks
across the
street.
It's the story of the day.
Yeah.
Worry about it.
But you know, it's a fact. I've taught it in my classes. You know, one of the ways TV people decide what story to do is what's the competition doing across town, good, bad, or otherwise. That's one of the ways they decide. So, and I guess, as Lisa says, it'll take, you know, a top-down decision to get away from that mentality. So.
All right. Hey, we're out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.